You remember her? There was a time she stood so tall, a shining light above us all. Now we rise, yeah, we stand again. Bring her back to life, let her spirit rise again. Look at y'all, hear the call.
Girl, that music's sexy.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to show Lucky Charm. So great to have you. And I'm here joined by our lovely friend, Miss Mary Magdalene. Hi,
Hello.
Mary.
Hello, everyone.
Don't you just love that song?
Yeah. Was your description like make me something sexy?
No, is that what it sounds like?
It's very like rock, I don't know, like 80s sexy rock.
Kind of like that, huh? Yeah, BBS created it. They're very creative.
Yeah, I like it.
So kind of wakes me up every time. We haven't had the show for about 2 weeks. How have you been doing?
I've been doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did something. There was a change within those 2 weeks. I had in the previous show told you about I was going to be playing bass in a band, and I actually stepped away from it. And so that is new, but I feel very relieved that I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, if we talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
That is just so awesome that you're sharing that, because I know from what I know of you, you love singing. Ever since I've known you, you've been in some kind of band. And I know you were excited about this gig. It was a cover for Alanis Morissette, correct?
Correct.
And you also shared that you love writing, and you recently said you walked away from it. Can you go in a little bit more depth about what happened and why that sudden decision?
Sure. Well, you know, I'll start the letting you know that I started to learn bass when about 3 years ago.
Mm.
So that was a fairly new kind of interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have played in a few bands, but I also I stepped away from playing bass to write. And so then when I was asked to do this project, and I started to work on the songs, I felt a lot of pressure and felt a lot of regret that I wasn't spending my time writing instead.
Wow.
So, you know, and I just walked away from a job. And now, you know, I'm trying to write full time, and it kind of felt like I was trapped in this project instead of feeling, I don't know, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I felt trapped instead.
Wow.
which is a feeling that I have run away from my entire life.
What do you mean?
Oh, goodness, girl. Okay. So, as a child, I ran away from home at 14.
So do you think so when you shared that with me, I was so impressed, because you're very, very in tune with what excites you and what doesn't.
Yeah, I would say that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And also it has led to impulsive decisions. So
impulsive. Okay.
Right. So not, I wouldn't say, I don't want to, like, you know, make it sound like this amazing, fantastic world, I have walked away
Right.
from a lot of things that, people wouldn't usually walk away from.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's not easy, right? But is it easier to do something you don't really want to do?
No, that and that's
You
the
see?
issue, is that when I feel that way, it's almost like I can't not do the thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Or else it just turns into feeling not so great about how things are going, and that's not a good feeling. So
Right.
yeah, and so I was having that feeling with trying to learn the songs. They're not hard songs, but it takes a lot of time to learn how, like, to memorize, a part in a song, and I just found myself regretting that I wasn't writing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I kind
It's
of felt
amazing.
bad that I had to tell my friend that I was stepping away.
Yeah, but you're not a prison to your word.
No, I just gave myself the freedom to write, and now
Yeah.
why would I sign up for something else?
Right. And I mean, I hate to say, but you may have not been as successful if you just did it just out of obligation.
Well, and that is one thing I said, not just that, whether I would be successful or not, but that the other bandmates deserve someone who's all in. And my part
Right.
was not all in.
Yeah.
And so and they deserve that. They deserve a band member that is all in.
Right. So you made room for someone else, right?
Yes. And like I said, it was a relief, a little bit of a relief to get back to writing. And I had another story published yesterday. So
Awesome.
yeah.
That's fantastic. I think if everyone did exactly what they wanted to do, right?
And I have a lot of examples if you want to talk about that.
I'm sure. I would sure. I what I was, it's interesting. I didn't really prepare too much for the show. I struggled doing that because I've never really prepared to talk to someone. I mean, I can talk to people sometimes a couple hours at a time, and I don't prepare for that. It just happens. So
Right.
it's kind of where I'm at, but I did want to touch base on what we're talking about right now. I also wanted to cover a little bit about addictions,
Okay.
because that's something I had to deal with and recover from. And so, if it can help anyone, and I know we talked about talking about ADHD,
Yes.
because I really don't know much about it. I feel like I'm ADHD most of the time, but I don't really know much about it. I know you do, so I'd love to talk about that. But yes, if you'd like to continue about talking about this, examples, success stories, I'm sure from the decisions you've made, I would love to hear it. That excites me very much.
Yeah, I do want to ask you a question. Can I put you on the spot for a second?
Please, of course. That's what I'm here
Okay.
for.
So what do you feel when you're like, do you tell yourself, oh, I should be preparing for the show, and then you don't prepare? Like, does that go through your mind at all, or are you just like, you don't even think about it?
I think about it for 2 weeks.
Okay. Every time you tell yourself, I should be doing this thing, what are you choosing to do instead?
Wow, that's a great question. Anything but that.
Anything but that. Okay, that's kind of like 80, that's what it's like to have
That's 80.
ADHD
Okay.
for a
That's
lot of
fine.
people. Yeah.
That's fine. I'm proud of it because, call it whatever you want. It is what
Yeah.
it is, because I don't I feel like it comes out a little bit more authentic, a little bit more raw when it's not prepared. I had a friend of mine who was a very successful life coach, and he would do speeches nationwide and globally. And he would always say, you know, I'm always asked, what are you going to say when you go on stage? What are you going to talk about? And his answer was, and he was extremely successful.
Right.
And his answer was always, I don't know, I'm not there yet.
Yep.
Right? And I enjoyed his speeches the most out of other people who were preparing it. And so that kind of stayed with me. And that's so it's not so much that I don't want to prepare, but I feel like it comes out a little bit more realistic, if you will, when it's not so prepared and scripted. Because if someone's prepared and scripted, I can tell right away. And for me personally, they lose me.
Right.
That's just me.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
just.
Yeah. So for me, like ADHD kind of shows up similarly, but it's me thinking, oh, I should be doing this. And instead I'm writing a, you know, I can easily write a 2,000 word story, you know, but then there's like maybe even a little bit of guilt that I didn't do the thing. And so it's there's some like executive functioning skills, like the it's hard to get started if something's boring, like you like we're you
Right.
feel like you just can't do it. You can't when you know, I think people generally just do the boring thing. They know they have to do it, and so they just do it.
Right.
But I could spend, you know, hours writing a story, writing stories instead of doing a simple task.
That's interesting. It's because it's not creative. It's, you know, what I think what you're saying is, how do you explain it? I don't like to label it as ADHD. That's just me. I feel like that was a label to make it look like there's something wrong. I don't, you know, it, who's to say what's right or wrong?
Right.
You
Yeah,
know?
I don't know that I don't know the history of, you know, of where it came from, the label, how who, you know, who originally created. I don't know that. I think that, you know, I think that doctors in general make diagnoses, you know, when they see consistent things happening. Like, you know, the same thing with like a flu, right? Or you got a fever, you know. So then, if they're seeing something that is happening in a group of people that is not present in the larger population, I think that that's when they decide to make a, you know, a diagnosis. But
Right.
I don't know the history of where it came from.
Well, somebody labeled it, you know.
Yeah. Well,
Somebody
yeah. I
labeled
mean,
it and then thought, you know, whatever, which is fine. That's, you can call it whatever you want. But some of the most successful people that I'm aware of have that, deal with that condition or whatever you want to call it. But what I'm curious is, I know you were a school teacher from K to 12th, right?
K through middle school. I was
K
able to
through.
teach, yeah, I never taught high school. I had the
Oh, okay.
credentials to do so, but never did it.
Did you in your years of being a teacher, did you notice a lot of kids suffering from that or being labeled?
I did not. So, in, you know, also I will say that most psychologists, and I know this from having my own my own children are also neurodivergent. So I know that psychologists and doctors don't want to label it before a certain age. Getting an early diagnosis is extremely rare. So for when I taught kindergarten, there would be maybe one kid a year that would be labeled ADHD, and because it was just rare to get the diagnosis at 5 years old.
Interesting.
And it had to be really present early to get
Got
that.
it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So,
Interesting.
yeah, my daughter was diagnosed when she was 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what are some of the signs, would you say, with that?
Oh, and you know, it's so different for so many people. That's the thing that is so hard. And it's, you know, that's why it's like a spectrum, right? It's
Yeah.
just so different. It shows up, my ability to like hyper focus on my story and not being able to do other things that, like I said, are kind of boring. That is very, ADHD. That is how it presents in myself and my kids. My daughter's an artist. She can spend hours drawing. My son's a musician and he can spend hours, but can't, you know, do a simple task like, you know, remove some trash from the bedroom or, you know, and
Who
it's,
wants to do that?
I'm sorry. Well, and that's the thing is that,
Yeah.
but I think that people who don't have ADHD, they don't struggle with that. It's not a, it's not a, I really should do this thing, the simple task. I'm gonna, it, they just do it. They just, okay, I'm gonna do it. They're done. They go back to what they were doing. Just doing it is so hard. It seems impossible when it's like something so small.
But it's also like, well, for someone, let's say, who is okay taking the trash out and more technical and has no problem doing that stuff, they can't do what your daughter's doing.
True. So
Right?
there are some pros
They
and
couldn't
cons to it.
paint to
Yeah,
save their life.
I will say that my life will show that there are some pros and cons to it. My ability to just make a decision without dwelling on it for, you know, a long time. And just to do something that most people wouldn't do, that can be a benefit. You know, it's not always, but it for the most part, it is. You know, I made a decision to quit my job many years ago when I was teaching elementary school
Yep.
to move to Spain by myself. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know the language.
That's so awesome.
I just made a decision and I did it.
And it worked out, right?
And it worked out. It
See?
worked out. And then I came home and I was unhappy that I came back. And so
Right.
I moved to Hawaii for a year.
Wow.
And so, you know, I've done a lot of things. I think a lot of things, a lot of travel by myself that most people wouldn't do on their own, especially females.
Right.
And it's just, you know, I've left jobs, I've moved homes. When I was younger, once the lease was up for the year, I had to move. I could not stay in the same place. I had to move.
That?
That's what I'm saying. People don't usually need to do
I understand.
that. So, yeah, that's,
I get it. But
yeah.
that's why do we all have to be the same?
No, we don't. And
You
we definitely
know?
aren't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you
It's
know, I've also left, you know, relationships in ways that I'm not very proud of. For example, my first husband, such a nice man. We bought a house together. He came from a very nice family. You know, we weren't struggling. We had a boat, we had two cars, we had a new house. We were in our early 20s. And I was being told that I was going to get a trust fund in my name, and I felt trapped. And these are things that would make people happy, and people would, stay for these things. Instead, I decided to leave and just didn't come home one day. I left all my things behind and just never came home and rented an apartment 40 miles away.
This is so
And
interesting. Go ahead.
he didn't deserve that. I'm going to be honest. But I didn't take a thing. I didn't take anything. And so he also had to, I look back on that. I'm like, oh, that wasn't the nicest thing to do, because he had to get rid of all my things. And I didn't make him sell the house. I didn't ask for, and I just wanted out. That's kind of what I said.
Wow.
I just want out. And I felt trapped. And so that's what I mean when
What do you mean
the
when you say you felt trapped? What does that look like? What's your definition of being trapped?
I guess it's kind of like a feeling of living someone else's life, not mine, not my chosen
Not
path.
being true to yourself.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, there's I don't think there's anything wrong with having, ADHD or having these things. It's just different. It's just different than what I think most people present. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, although I will say the one thing that's wrong with it, again, he didn't deserve that treatment.
Well, no, I no one does. No one
Right,
deserves to get
exactly.
hurt, of course. But here's the thing. Thank you for talking about this, by the way. Hopefully we're, helping some. The thing is, when something ends, it's never a happy ending, no matter how it ends, or it wouldn't have ended.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
And sure. I I don't think
Yeah.
that people would just not come home.
I agree. But there's other worse ways they could have
There, for
ended,
sure.
right? I'm just
Yes,
saying.
absolutely. Yeah.
Ending is never a fun thing for anybody.
Yeah, I guess my thought then was I didn't want to go through the motions of trying to fix something that I knew I w wasn't going to be fixed and I didn't want fixed.
That's interesting.
I had made the decision already, and once I made the decision, that was it.
So you were being true to yourself, right?
Yeah.
You didn't harm anybody
Well, I
physically. You
hoped.
didn't, you weren't vicious or malicious. You just said no. And,
I wasn't malicious. It wasn't on purpose. I didn't
Right.
intend to hurt him, but it hurt a lot. And
Yeah.
it was a struggle for him and his family. I was part of their family.
Yeah.
To my ex-mother-in-law, I was her daughter.
Right, right.
And it was really hard on his family, the whole family. They were very close. I was very close with all of them. So, I didn't intend to hurt them. I didn't think about what my actions would do. I just did it. And so there are some, that's what I'm saying, there are some pros and cons. I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I was true to myself. I wouldn't have ended up in Spain or living
Oh, that's
by the
amazing.
beach for a year, or living in Hawaii. Or even having my own children. And so, but I do think it's important to look back and go like, oh, I should learn how to do this with a little more grace. It's okay to leave, but maybe with a little more grace.
Like, leave a note, leave a message.
Dear John, at least a note,
I get it. I understand. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
However, unfortunately, in when we make a decision to be true to ourselves, when we commit to that, people get hurt. And my thing is, well, wait a minute. If you really love me and you care about me, you would be happy for me and not get hurt. You know, so that's kind of where I'm, but I get it. There's some decisions I've made that maybe family or whatever, they don't understand, but they've been really good about it, you know? Like you talked to my son, you know how, you know, he was happy about it. But you know, so I'm that's cool, but they weren't at first, you know? Like,
Well,
no.
I think two things can be true, that people can support you and still be hurt. You know, there is still
Of
that
course.
the grieving of the loss. There's still a loss, you know,
Of course.
of routine, of you know, part of their life. When we come in and out of people's lives, we become a part of their lives too. And when something changes or someone leaves, then that's hard on people. And so, you know, people can feel the grief and also support. And I think that's where so since getting the diagnoses, you know, I was an adult when I got it. A lot of things were like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And it helps me to, I did some research. I think a lot of people do this when they get diagnosed. They do some research and they start connecting some dots, and it kind of helps you understand yourself and also kind of forgive yourself. For, you know, and I think even maybe build some confidence, because you always kind of know that you're different. You just, you know, I always knew I was different. I knew I was different growing up. And I always blurted things out and said what was on my mind and very like brutally honest. And that got me in trouble a lot of times. And you know, but so once you like start researching, you start to understand. I feel like my nervous system calmed down a little bit.
Interesting.
And then I can kind of before, well, I'm still impulsive. I'm not gonna lie. I'm still impulsive. But you know, I do stop and think about it sometimes first. I'm better at it. I'm better at it.
That's interesting. It's a vast subject, and I guess depending on who you talk to, they'll have their own opinion. And again, I will say I just don't believe that there's a right or wrong, and we're just experiencing what we're experiencing.
I agree with
And,
that.
you know, and people who care and love about you. Because you would support someone like if you had a party or whatever, just to be extreme, and last minute I say I can't come because for some reason I don't feel or my compass in my heart is saying, you know, maybe you shouldn't go. I don't think you'd be mad at me, would you?
I about 10 years ago, I probably would have not been mad, but very hurt. So there is that. I did have that experience growing up. And it is something that people with ADHD actually have. And a lot of people do experience this. Is it's called rejection sensitivity. And so I worried a lot when I was younger about rejection. I tried really hard to please my teachers, my coaches. And if someone criticized me, I would end up in tears. It hit hard. Or, you know, so that 10 years ago, before I had the diagnosis, I would have been hurt. I would have been very hurt if you said you couldn't come. But now that I know that that's part of how it presents to me, I'm not hurt anymore. So that's what I mean about, you know, once I got the diagnosis, I learned more about myself and I learned, like, oh, this is something that I experience and now it makes sense.
Because you know it's not about you, right?
Right. And so then I'm able to kind of think about it in a different light. And I didn't know that until I started researching that. That was something that people with ADHD experience. Now I would be totally fine.
Yeah, that's good. I'm there with you on that one. I have to say,
Yeah.
I'm
So.
definitely in agreement with you on that one. Before, no, now it's like okay.
Yeah. And I think that for me, relationships have always been kind of hard.
Sure.
Friendships, partnerships. I really enjoy spending time with people, and then it kind of loses its novelty. And it's not that I don't like the people anymore, but it's kind of like I feel like I need to move on, or I'd rather be alone. And I'm in a stage right now where I'm not lonely at all, but I am often alone. And I'm absolutely happy with that because it feels less complicated.
It's easier. Well, it's yeah.
I don't have to pretend to for anybody. And
Right.
that's something that, people with ADHD often do is they take the social cues around them and they like mimic them back, and it's exhausting. Like after, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but after I go out and socialize,
Yeah.
I need like 2 or 3 days to just like not talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like I can't.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
If I can definitely be that way. Depends where I'm at, I suppose. But it's funny, it's not funny you mentioned that, but being happy with yourself. I mean, that's the most important relationship anyway.
Right.
People who
Yeah.
can't be alone,
Yeah, and but I again, I will say that that didn't come until after the diagnosis, because then I was kind of like, it all makes sense now. I am different, and this is how I'm different, and now I understand myself, and it's not like something's wrong with me. I do try to use, the ADHD superpowers. There are some
Yeah.
to my benefit.
What's the one advice, or maybe more than one advice, you can give to someone who is noticing they're kind of dealing with that, I suppose, the ADHD app? Not again, not that it's a bad thing or a negative thing, but maybe someone just doesn't want to be that way or how, whatever. Where would
Yeah.
you tell them to start?
Well, to I would I can tell you how I started. I think everyone's experience is different. I started with a lot of meditation. I then w moved on to therapy. And just talk therapy, just having someone to talk to. One thing I stopped doing was I stopped entering in toxic relationships. I think that was something that I did a lot, just because I wanted to be included and so or liked.
Sure.
And so I would befriend some toxic people, and
Yeah.
it's there's a lot of progression. You start small, start with them, meditating, start with or how I did, that's how I did it anyway. Therapy, talking to someone is really good. It helps you see other people's perspective. Now that's something that I will say therapy helps with a lot, because I wasn't always able to understand perspective or other people's perspective. So while my first husband probably thought, well, we can work this out in therapy at least, in my mind, it was, we already have the problem. This isn't going to go anywhere. Why are we going to waste that time? You know? But a therapist can help you see the other person's perspective. And I think that's beneficial, especially with
Sure.
someone struggling with that. Yeah, because then you're kind of like, oh, that's why they do that. That's why they, you know, and it just helps you understand other people better that are, you know, the, I guess, normies. Helps you understand
Normies.
the
Love that word. Love it. Love being a normie. It's
normies.
a pretty depth conversation. One of the things that can also relate to all this is addiction. People think addiction is only to, harmful substances or alcohol or drugs or smoking, but it can also relate to how we act and how we respond to things and the how we think. You can be addicted to toxic people, for example, and not realize
Sure.
it. Or you could be, so I think the addiction behavior plays a little bit of part in what we're talking about, if I'm not mistaken, because it's an addiction is something you do over and over again. Before you know it, it just becomes a habit,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
And then you get labeled for it.
Right.
So that can be a pattern that
Sure,
goes, right?
I could see. Okay, so in my previous life, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I say that because I am different now, and I've been evolving since I was born. So I'm still not in my final form, but I was it was very important for me that when I entered a possible, you know, relationship, be it friendship or partnership, there had to be this intense, like, connection. This, you know, the connection between us had to be very intense, a lot of passion. And if that didn't happen, I could not be friends. So maybe we could say that in that sense, I was addicted to that feeling of intense passion
Maybe,
with
yeah.
other people. Yeah. I never
Maybe.
thought about it as an addiction. But now I'm not the same. I'm not, well, you know, and that could be because it didn't work out in any of those
Well, yeah, I
situations.
mean, the addiction is not, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. You can be addicted to something good. You could be
Yeah.
addicted to eating healthy.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm addicted to being alone.
Interesting.
I mean, with my children here, obviously, alone in the sense of having other adults around. I prefer to be alone. And sometimes it's, I don't know, I guess that can seem strange to
Nothing
people.
strange. Nothing strange. If anything, I feel so special. Thank you. I'm honored.
Yeah, you are one of like four adults I talk to.
I'm so honored, Mary. Thank you so much for that. An addiction is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, I guess it's bad when it's something that's affecting you negatively and then you just can't stop doing it, I suppose. But
You know, when I was younger, I did like smoke cigarettes, right? And I did for many years. And then my first husband, you know, we were in, so in love. We were like soulmates. It was just, we had an amazing, but then relationship. But then when we were going to get married, he was like, you know, I would really like you to quit smoking before we get married and all that. And I was like, okay, no problem. And like that was it. The next day I stopped. It
Wow.
wasn't, it was something that I was able, once I made a decision, but
Yeah.
then at the same time, I remember getting a tattoo and I was told, that's probably enough tattoos. And like the next week I secretly went and got another.
Of course. Of course
So,
we
yeah.
would.
And people can be addicted to getting tattoos, right? That's for sure.
Exactly. Again, it's not a negative. An addiction is just something, that you do over and over again, and you just can't stop doing it. But it's really not a bad thing at all. So I don't want it to give it a bad rap. But
Right.
if someone, I smoked for 30 years,
Yeah.
and I quit. So it was hard, but. I guess what am I trying to say? If anyone's dealing with an addiction or they want to stop something and they're not able to do it, I think that's when it becomes a problem.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
When they really want to stop this thing, but they can't because their whole all their cells in their body is just screaming for it.
For
And
some relief,
so,
yeah. Yeah, and that's why it's so important to get help when you're at that moment, and there are lots of organizations and groups that you can join, from my understanding.
I tried so many things. I tried so many, it didn't work until,
Oh, really?
yeah, it just, oh my God. I was like, can someone quit for me? It didn't work. And then, honestly, it doesn't work until you're totally ready. And what
Right.
I found was it takes 21 days to make or break a habit.
Okay.
This saved me, and this can save people in different areas of life, I think. I thought, okay, I'm gonna do this for 21 days, and I literally took a marker on my bathroom mirror. Because so that I would see it every day, it would be in my face. And every one day I would mark a day. And I was like, if I can do this for 21 days, I'm good.
Right.
And it worked.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it worked 21 days.
That's
So
fantastic.
with anything at all, I think that can work. So if it's something, I don't know. Someone desires or wants, and they don't know. This is something I definitely want to talk to you about, creation and manifesting and aligning, probably maybe on the next show. But that's something that can work. Just either don't do it for 21 days or do something for 21 days and you'll have it. It's really that simple.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we are creatures of habit, right?
Right.
And yeah, we can talk about, manifesting things, but I think you're right on. The when I really want something, I will put in action every single day for a very long time until it happens. And so you can manifest and you can also leave things. I think that's Yeah.
So when you come to the decision, you're actually using your compass first, right? Your heart, your desire, your what excites you,
Yeah.
and then you use your brain to execute it. Love that word, right?
Yeah, I guess when I come to decision, I usually am using my dopamine. Whatever is giving me dopamine. And then or like whatever idea is like truly exciting and releasing that dopamine. And then a lot of times if we're going to talk about it, I will write something that I want down on paper. I'll say it out loud. And then if I do that several days in a row, I'll start putting action towards it, physical action towards doing the thing. You know, anything you manifest also requires physical action. You know, it's, you know, $1 million isn't going to show up on your doorstep.
It's not.
Sorry to say, it's not. And
Yeah.
you know, if you don't write stories, you're not gonna get published, you know. It just
Exactly.
so you have to put in the work too. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the part I don't like. So,
Well, and
yeah.
that's why, you know, for me, the writing, I love the writing, and so it doesn't feel like work. And so I finally found I've gone through so many hobbies. You would have no idea. I used to
Really?
paint. I used to do photography. I played bass, you know, the singing.
Yeah.
Writing is the first thing that I feel really is gonna hold me. And I think the reason is because I, for one reason, I think is, you know, any trauma, any childhood trauma that I have, I get it out and I write a story about it. And then it almost feels like I can just let it go then. You know, it's just gone. But then also I create new stories. So that ability to write something new is always, I hope, going to give me that good feeling because it's new. It's still new. Every story's new. And so it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel, it does, I don't feel trapped because I'm not trapped in one story for a very long time. I keep writing new ones. And you know, I play around with different genres, different points of view. Like my writing's all over the place. Different lengths. So it's there's a lot of freedom in writing.
I bet. That's why they say journal, which I need to do, but I'm almost sure that and maybe not, maybe I'm mistaken, but someone out there might be thinking, okay, well, how are you going to make money from all this, right? For the ones who don't have ADHD. I'm not sure how to word this, but you know what I mean. For the ones who are thinking, I gotta work, I gotta make money, how do I just do something? The way people usually function is they make sure they can make money from something and then go pursue it, right? So what advice can you give? Because I know you've done a lot of that and you've been totally fine.
My story is wild though, and I don't recommend it for anybody
That's okay. It's
because
her story. It's up to
yeah,
them.
it's, you know, you just find a way. That's kind of how it's always been for me. You just find a way. I am currently in a position where I'm lucky to be in a position where I can just write and I'm not struggling in that sense. But you know, like financially, I kept my job as a teacher for much longer than I probably would have liked, I think, because of, you know, the responsibilities of having children and, you know, wanting a place to live. But I think that if you really want something, you can find a way. And it might take years to get there. And if you really want it, then you're not going to stop till it happens.
That's what I wanted to get. If you really want something, right?
And you know, you hear that with people who are successful a lot. You know, they just didn't stop. All, you know, nothing Most people's, I think, experience isn't that they became successful from the beginning. It was always that trajectory. There are hardships, financial issues, there are struggles. There are times you want to give up, but you just don't. And when you keep pushing through those hard times, then eventually you'll get to the other side and it won't be so hard. But, I mean, I've had a lot of difficulties in my life, and there were just some things that were just non-negotiables. I was going to do it no matter what. So even though I dropped out of high school, I knew I was going to go to college. And so I found a way to do that.
See.
I finished high school in 6 months. I did something called Challenge the Finals. I didn't have to do any schoolwork. I passed the finals and I passed the class and I started college at 15. It
You did
was,
all of high school in 6 months?
yes.
Oh my God, we got duped. What
Right,
the
that's how
heck?
everyone should do it. It wasn't until I got to college that I finally felt like I was among people that were more like me. In high school, I struggled a lot socially. Yeah, with all the different expectations in high school and stuff. I am not sad that I missed prom at all.
This has been really cool. I hope that, some of these things strike something with, and I was telling one of my friends, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to talk about? Everything I talk about has already been talked about, right? And she said, no, it maybe your way of explaining it will be different. And some one person might hear it and make a difference with someone. And so that kind of made sense. So even if one person hears this and, we can help, why not?
Absolutely, absolutely.
We have let's see, what did I? So eventually I would love to take calls. I know we're running a little bit short on time right now. It's we got maybe 2 minutes left. But eventually, I would love to take calls from anyone who can resonate with this information or dealing with addiction and whatever it may be that we talked about. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can also email us through BBS. And I just wanted to thank you, Mary, for being
Of
here
course.
with me again. And I just love your energy, and you have a lot to contribute. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
And
you.
but we will follow up in 2 weeks and we'll chat later, my dear.
Right, sounds good.
Thank you, everybody. Have a fantastic Saturday, and we'll see everyone again here in 2 weeks. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Silence, no more fear. Her voice is stronger when we're here. Bring her back to life. Let her spirit rise again.
Look at charms light the way.
Bring her back. Starting today.